being manipulated the way I was for so long and so intensely and in so many ways. You know, there's this idea that therapists are not supposed to talk about their personal life and they're not supposed to, you know, do any of these things besides what the textbook tells you.
Right.
And how do you feel about this? And what is it? That's not what it is. And so many people think that's what therapy is.
All right. Hey, guys, welcome back to the studio. Today we have Lindsay Wright, the original narrator of children's books that aren't really for children. All right. Welcome to the studio, Lindsay.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. All right. So just to give the audience a little bit of context here, you have a huge following on social media right now.
I do. Kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah, I love it. I love the platform. I love the children's books that are not for children.
Definitely not for children.
That's amazing. You have such a great social media presence in the way that you read the books, the way that you narrate. It just has me in stitches all the time. And I think I was telling you off camera, I've worked in the mental health field for nearly 30 years now. Mm-hmm. And in my field, it can be daunting at times. So yeah. I appreciate a social media platform like yours.
Awesome. Well, glad I can provide laughs. I get a lot of messages from people like, oh, I've been in a depressive episode and I get look forward to your uploads because they make me laugh and feel a little better. And I'm like, that's awesome. I've got plenty of mental health struggles that I've gone through, and I know how important laughter is. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely the best medicine. And not only do you have a large following on Instagram, you're a large TikTok presence too.
I am. I started on TikTok actually in fall of 21. I was like, you know, my kids have talked about TikTok and I'm like, I'm not getting into that because I'll get addicted to it. And
right.
I knew I would get addicted to it. So I stayed far away from it. And then I'm writing a book. So I'm like, well, I should get one, make a TikTok so that I can make content to kind of have people to market this to once it's ready. And so I did that. And a lot of weird shit happened. I was just doing my thing with mental health stuff and, you know, healing and with spiritual stuff and my trauma and all of this. And then TikTok Shop started. And I got an invitation to be a TikTok Shop affiliate, like when it was brand new in
wow.
the United States. I did that and I had several viral videos. And one of them was for the Unbrush, which was sold then by Beauty Choice. It's made by FHI Heat. And that exploded my account. I think I got up to like 150,000 followers in a matter of 2 months or something
wow.
like that. And then they actually ended up flying me out to LA and invited me to the launch party for the Unbrush Mini and their detangling spray and had me at the TikTok headquarters for a live stream. Yeah, it was a fun experience. And it's funny because they have like recording rooms for influencers or the visitors or whoever. And all of your spaces, they're better.
Wow.
I'll take them better. And I think you have more than they had.
Than like, TikTok headquarters?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm going to have to look back at the video, but I think you have more options.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Yeah. I'm loving it here.
How was that experience while you're out there?
It was different. It was pretty cool. I felt like I didn't feel like I belonged just because I'm like, I'm just this single mom making videos in her bedroom at home or brushing her hair, you know, like it just felt weird that I'm getting, you know, this gorgeous hotel and I'm at this launch party with like a 7-course dinner that it
wow.
was, it was a cool experience.
Yeah.
Definitely. And just being at TikTok and seeing everything there and meeting with people, like it was cool. It was a
That's
cool
so cool. So I don't really get on TikTok too much, but I am on your Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my God, the way that your posts go viral.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's insane. Like I have a contact that authored one of those children's books that aren't for children.
Mm-hmm.
And his went on your page. You got wind of that book and promoted it, and I think it got over 5 million views.
Probably
somewhere along those
that
lines.
That one was
like,
a lot.
Your
people
views,
love that one.
Your posts don't just get like, because I never know what the number is on viral.
Yeah,
I've never considered any of my posts to have gone viral. Yours seemed like that's a viral number,
it
like in the millions.
I think I researched it because I was curious. I think it's about 1 million within like a 24-hour period or something, and then it gets higher as the time. I don't know. Who creates these definitions? I have no fucking clue.
Yeah. Well, because I've heard people tell me like, yeah, my post went viral, and I was like, wow, how many views did it get? And they'll say like 200. And I was like, oh, is that the number on viral? Because I don't know.
Absolutely no
but
idea.
Then I had seen your page, and I'm like, well, 5 million, that kind of seems
that
viral.
That feels viral.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not just one or two. It's like you're consecutively like in the millions with your
posts.
Yes.
And that, I mean, this all just started in December.
Wow.
And well, really January, I think, was when it really exploded. I think, I don't remember for sure, but I think I had like 200,000 maybe followers on TikTok at the time. And I'm up to like 980 just in the last couple
of
months.
So you're near a million followers on TikTok. Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And so like they love you. TikTok loves you.
Well, TikTok doesn't love me. They take my shit down all the time.
Have you ever, is there a TikTok jail like there's Facebook
there
jail?
There is a TikTok jail, I believe. I've never been in it, knock on wood. But, you know, the algorithm is ridiculous. I've had no trouble on Instagram or YouTube or Facebook. But yeah, TikTok definitely likes to yank my stuff and then I appeal it and they're like, oh, we're sorry. We put it back. I'm like, that's right, motherfucker.
That's funny. So just to give the audience a little bit of context, the books, obviously, they're like parodies. They're like children's books that aren't for children. They're for adults.
Yep.
But they're very funny. And like, do you have any titles that you can reference that off the top of your head that you think are just...
There's so many good ones.
Yeah, I
the
know.
Authors that I've built relationships with are just amazing. I found books by Andrew Racho. Who is he used to work for Adult Swim.
Okay.
And his are fucking hilarious. They are completely different than what I started. Like I started with like sexual innuendos and stuff. And then I found Andrew and it's like a whole different ball game. And there's, I think my favorite is The Sleepover by Andrew Racho. And it's basically, it's this like cute little kids are having a sleepover and blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden they look and there's this guy, like this homeless looking dude. And they're like, who are you? And he's like, I'm Harold Rieta. I sit behind you in whatever class. And they're like, okay. And then just the most off the wall shit. He's shooting up. And all of a sudden, and then they go and tell the mom, like, oh, we don't want Harold Rieta here anymore. And she comes in and then the mom like murders him in front of like, it the shock factor is unfucking believable.
That's crazy.
And then he's got another one. You can't don't judge a book by its cover, or you can't judge a book by its cover. Where is this? I think it's like a bear or something. And then all of a sudden, it's Mrs. Claus and Santa Claus in like do BDSM. It's like, what is this?
That's hilarious.
It's so funny because it comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Really anything by Jen Genevieve and Kinsey Mazing. They're awesome. Brad Goss is hilarious. His books go, they're anything. That you can get some racism in there, which I steer clear of that.
Right.
Just super inappropriate, like ways to talk to kids. There's a lot of sexual stuff in there. He's got like Mike Hunt goes fishing.
So I just watched that one the other day on your platform and rolling,
yeah.
Obviously. Like, I think that's hilarious. And again, these are not for children.
No.
These are for
the
adults.
People.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Because I'm sure like you
is.
Get backlash,
absolutely.
Right? From people reaching out thinking
absolutely.
Like they don't
get it. I can't
believe
it. These are in children's libraries. And I'm like, if you think that this is a children's book, you should not be allowed to vote.
Right.
Like, I'm going to need you to not do that.
Because you have a unique sense of humor. I also have a unique sense of humor. And so, but people are so literal with everything.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you get a lot of messages from people, or do they, like I know Instagram has the reporting option. Like,
yeah.
Do you get reported all the time?
No. I mean, if I do, then they don't tell me. I guess I don't really know how it goes. There's been one or two videos on Instagram where it said that they were like reviewing it, but they're like, oh yeah, you're good.
Yeah. Well, plus these are not your books.
No.
You're just narrating, right. Authors'
books.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Which I think is hilarious. And you have a great delivery. So when it's just funny to watch you read it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And then I made sure that there was one book I did a week or two ago, and I, for whatever fucking reason, it was called Peeper Goes Deeper. But for some reason, I was pronouncing it Pepper. I don't, on the second to last page, I was like, and I look and I'm like, son of a bitch, that says Peeper, not Pepper. But I'm like, I can't re-record it because I make sure that I give my initial reaction to all of these
Got
books
it.
Because that's what's funny. Like, I could read the book and be funny, but what you see is me going, oh shit.
Yes.
Like, I really had no idea that was coming. I feel like that's funnier for people.
I love it. It's organic, authentic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's funny. So do the authors send you these books or?
Some of them.
Some of them are sending them to you now. Yeah. Or do you seek, some you seek out?
Yeah.
Like you find them?
So Brad Goss and Kinsey Amazing just automatically, when they publish a new one, they just send it right away. I buy Jen Genevieve's. And so I just pretty much go every week or two and start searching for books. And there are so many authors now that have messaged me and they're like, hey, I get a lot of that too. Like, yeah. Hey, I wrote this book. Can I send it to you? I buy a lot. I spend way too much money on adult children's books. but yeah, so it's a little bit of everything. But there's been several authors who were like, oh my God, you inspired me to write these books. So I'm like, oh, like, I'm not just making people laugh. People are like doing things that they wanted to do, which is really cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And now I think it's awesome too, because you're going to be, you're writing your own book.
I am.
That's awesome. I think it's amazing.
Thank you.
And what, just to share with the audience, what is the book, what are you gearing that towards?
It's a memoir about the relationship between myself, my mom, and my grandma. I've done a lot of trauma healing the last, what year is it? 4 years now.
Yeah.
And I came to, there was an incident with my mom. My mom and I are extremely close, but there was an incident and I was reflecting on it. And I'm like, what is this? Like, what is going on? This is deeper than codependency. And I came across the term enmeshment. And I looked into that and there was an article specifically about mothers and daughters. And I was like, holy shit, they wrote this about me and mom. So I looked into it more and I'm like, we're not close like we should be close. Like, this is too much.
Yeah.
And I reflected on that and how my mom is with my grandma. My grandma passed away, but their relationship and all three of us. And I'm like, this is a book. I was actually already writing a book at the time. And I completely shoved that aside to do this because I'm like, I just had that like innate knowing that this is the book I needed to write. People could relate to this because I see it in friends of mine too, who've always been like really close with their parents or whatever. And now I'm like, there's a difference.
Right.
And it's hard to find that line, but it is different. So pretty much, you know, I lay out shit I've been through, my mom, things she's been through, my grandma, some of our past situations that we kind of went through together or next to each other as far as trauma, how we, you know, had our own issues among us, how we handled things, just all sorts of stuff. And then it goes through and it ends like shortly after my grandma's passing. And then I actually already have two follow-up books and I've got.
That's amazing.
I've got documents ready to go for those too. So
that's a really brave endeavor.
Yeah, it's scary.
It must be cathartic too to kind of go through the process. And like you said, I think everybody is carrying some trauma and some PTSD. Yeah. And that's why I appreciate your Instagram and your TikTok, your social media platform so much, because everybody needs a good laugh and to take things a little less seriously while we're processing all of our grief and our trauma. And I think that, you know, like I said, that's a really brave endeavor to expose those parts of yourself, you know, to a large audience. Mm-hmm. I think you're the right person, you know.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I, you know, my partner, Jason, he tells me he's proud of me a lot. And I'm like, I haven't done anything. I'm reading other people's books. I'm doing this. And he's like, just because it's easy for you to be authentic doesn't mean that it's easy for everybody.
Yeah.
So, you know, I get compliments and I'm just like, I'm just talking.
It's imposter syndrome. Yeah.
I know. But I'm like, I'm just telling my story. Like, I know I'm not the only one. And had it not been for people, I mean, I healed before I started therapy. I healed through TikTok and I found people who were talking about the things that I didn't even know I needed to talk about.
Yeah.
I lost a partner suddenly in January of 2021, and that broke me. Like, that was, I had just gotten divorced. This was a friend from, you know, 12 years. It was a whole weird long thing. But that broke me. I'd never lost anyone unexpectedly.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of sent me into this. I need something to believe in, because like spiritually, I never really had anything. So that's kind of what started my spiritual journey. And then I had a drunken slutty summer. And I was like, this has to stop. And that's when I saw a grief counselor. And then I found my therapist now. I started group therapy and all of this. And it just, I needed somebody to understand me through all of that. And nobody I knew personally could understand. Nobody had been through a loss like that. Nobody at the time knew that they, you know, their ex was a narcissist. And I was married for 16 years and I had no idea that I was being manipulated the way I was for so long and so intensely and in so many ways. So I just felt really alone. But these people on TikTok were being honest and open. And I was like, I'm going to do that because, damn it, I needed these people and they were there. So I want to be that person for other people. And then that's kind of how it all started.
That's amazing. And like I say, you are the right person to tell your story.
Yeah.
You know, no one can tell it like you can. And, you know, we talked a lot off camera and we have a lot of similarities on our path to spirituality and whatever that means to any, you know, to an individual. We had a lot of similarities there. And it's quite a journey when you're starting to reflect and document. Like, it's very therapeutic to put it on paper.
Yeah.
And, like, just even talking it out. So, like, while I talk it out while I write it out sometimes. And it's interesting to read it back and to hear it back.
Yeah.
What do you have a specific process when you get pen to paper?
I'm winging it.
Yeah.
I'm winging every single part of this. Because it comes
organically, and it's when it's time kind
of
deal.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, there's times. I like to travel. Mm-hmm. And so, and, you know, up until I met Jason, I traveled alone, and I absolutely loved it. But I would record and talk in the car as I'm driving down the interstate, and I would speak my chapters.
Yeah.
And then go and switch them over to text. But I find when I talk, I don't realize what I'm even saying or where is that coming from.
Right.
And kind of same when I'm typing, you know, I'm like, okay, here's, I have a general outline of which chapters I'm going to focus on what, and I'll just kind of start. And then it just, I don't even remember doing it sometimes. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean because
it's
read.
It's just like, I just wrote 9 pages.
Yes. When did it's that like happen? A blackout.
Yeah.
And when I read stuff back, I'm like, holy I was really getting into it.
One like big mind fuck one chapter I wrote. And I think I stepped away for 5 or 6 months after that one.
Because it's revealing and then you're like reprocessing it.
Yeah. I had it was a big one. And it what's funny is it really wasn't anything I didn't know. I just had never like seen it that way.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. I mean, long story short, I can share this. My mom had an abortion before I was born, and she didn't want to have it when she did, and she just wanted to be a mom. And so I was born almost exactly a year later, and I'm, you know, realizing all this, and I'm like, I'm a therapy tool. Like, my mom felt guilty. My mom wanted this baby that she didn't get to have, so she had me, and I was like, I was her fix. And I think this is where that enmeshment thing kind of started. Like, I was her little bestie.
Yeah.
And it was just like, wow. Yeah. No, I'm here to be her emotional regulator. And that was a hard thing to see, even though I knew all of this stuff going in. But yeah, I read it. I typed it and I looked and I was like, huh. Interesting.
I can relate to what you're saying because, like, we know when we've been through an experience and we know it's already revealed itself, you carry it with you. All these years go by and then it pops up later down the road and it's a whole, like, it's a whole new experience. Like, okay, now I'm going to go through this, but process it this way because, you know, you have more life experience and you have a different mindset.
Yep.
Like, as we were talking off camera, kind of going through the experiences that you go through leading up to, you know, your new journey and your new path and all of these things. Nobody understands, right?
No.
And you, like you said, you wanted to connect with people that understood you, and you were finding that through TikTok. I had found that through YouTube because I was off social media and focusing more towards, you know, healing and looking for spiritual mentors and leadership mentors. And I found that platform on YouTube, and that was some years back. I don't know. Do we consider YouTube social media?
I think so.
Okay. I didn't back then.
I don't
then.
Know the rules.
I didn't back then. It was like, you know, because no one, it wasn't like as prevalent as it is now,
YouTube.
It seems.
Yeah.
Yeah,
YouTube was just where you went to find shit. I don't know.
Yes,
I never
I don't know,
thought of it
to
as
watch
social
videos.
Either.
Right. And so, but I found that there, and I was finding I was relating with people, and it was And I was able to put pen to paper and write some things down and process. Mm-hmm. And that's when I learned, like, how you just explained the story with your mom. I was like, shit. Well, I already know this, and I already thought I comprehended that, and yeah. I already understood that to be the situation. Why am I having an issue with it at this yeah. point? Yep. Right. Yeah. It's weird, isn't it?
It's very weird.
Yeah.
And it reminds me, too. I've been doing this a lot recently. I love music. That's a big healing source for me. And the amount of times recently where I'm like, I know all the words to this song, but I've never like heard this song.
Yes.
And it just one day you're like, whoa, hold on. And you start it over and you're like, holy shit. And it new completely, meaning. Yes. And it's crazy. I'm like, no, I know this song. Like yes. I've been singing every word of the song for 3 years or whatever.
Cause you're tuned in now.
Yeah.
Isn't it weird?
Yeah.
Once you tune in, you can't untune.
No, you yeah. definitely can't. Sometimes I wish I could turn it off. I was like, man, ignorance really is bliss.
I know. I was just saying that the other day. I thought, wow, there was a something I was watching, someone had said, man, I just wish I was a simpleton mm-hmm. because it's just easier that
it
way.
It really is.
And once you can't unknow things once no. you know them, you know?
Yeah.
And
so, thinking about when I was, it was like, yeah, no, I was miserable, but I didn't know it
yeah.
at the time. I didn't know it. I thought I was happy.
Same. And we talked a little bit about that too, where it was like, I was a good goddamn time back then.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? But I wasn't in alignment. Mm-hmm. I wasn't tuned in, and I was, quite frankly, tuned out. I was yeah. more focused on just being a good time.
Yeah.
And having a good time. And then, during those times it was like, it was only when I realized I was other people's good time. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? When I kind of started to dial that back and kind yep. of like reel myself in and serve myself, you know what I mean? Versus mm-hmm. others in that respect. And it's yeah. like, you kind of had the same journey with that.
Yeah, definitely. I was, I think it's fairly common. I refer to it as my post-divorce slutty phase. I was married when I was 18 and I was 34 when I got, was that right? What year is it? Yeah, 34. And I was drinking and I was, I had just gone through this situation with Sean when he passed away. And I mean, I was drinking, I was seeking attention from men. I was doing all these things, but I was hilarious yeah. and I had great fucking stories and right. everyone knew I was down to go out. So yep. that's when I'd get the calls like, hey, what are you doing tonight? What are you doing tonight? You want to go? You have the kids? And I got so sick of that so fast.
Yeah.
So fast. And I was like, this is not who I want to be. I saw that I was turning into my mom post divorce. Yeah. And that just kind of reiterated the book stuff where I'm yeah. like, yeah, no, I'm repeating cycles here and I don't want to do that.
Wow. And it's amazing though that you recognize that, because a lot of people don't.
Yeah.
And like, I'm always thankful when I realize that sooner than later.
Yeah.
It's very rare, it seems.
Yeah.
Because that can go on for years and decades.
Absolutely. I come from a family of alcoholics, both sides. And so I've always been very, very aware of that. I've never used dry smoke pot, but I've never done drugs. I'm like, I don't want to try that because I'll probably like it.
Yeah.
And I don't want to like it, you yeah. know? And so I've always been really aware of my drinking too, and when I'm drinking and why I'm drinking. And there have been two times in my life where I was like teetering on the you're not.
Am
drinking.
I an alcoholic?
Yeah,
because I did
it's
that
close
too.
Close to being out of control.
Yes.
But I'm gonna reel it in
yes.
before it becomes a problem, and then I stop drinking completely, and then I drink, I don't know, a few times a year maybe.
Same. Yeah. It's been the same path for
and
me
not
too.
Getting hammered and
right.
Yeah.
Because that's different. It's a game changer too as you go on with more life experience, and it's like what you can take in versus what you used to put away.
Yeah.
Like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
That's a whole like eye-opening experience, because after I kind of stepped away from that scene, as I was telling you, I was starting up my business, and I really needed to evaluate myself, mm-hmm. who I was giving time to yep. and what I was giving time to. Drinking had in the past taken priority, mm-hmm. Mixed in with like living your life and all
yeah.
those things. But, just kind of, but being young and in your 20s and in your early 30s and always available, mm-hmm. like always down to go out and always yep. say yes, like, yes, let's go. I'm ready. But I wasn't like an everyday drinker,
yeah.
binge drinking and going out and all of those
Same.
Things.
Yep.
But I did get to the point where I questioned. I was like, is it too much?
Yeah.
Like, there were times when I would get a little too far out there, and then I would but I always was self-aware enough to know, like, you need to dial that back. Yes. Like, take a sabbatical. And then I just started testing myself to see when I didn't surround myself with other people who were drinking or, like, you know, binge drinking and mm-hmm. kind of living for the weekend deal. I was like, can I go like 90 days, you yeah. know, like without yeah. doing that? And so, but I could.
Right.
So I was like, fun, holy
especially
shit.
Especially when you're not like, I'm never going to drink again. I never did that.
I never said that either. No, I've never
like, yeah,
done
I'm going to drink because I don't have a problem. I'm trying to prevent
yes.
going over that line that exactly. I know I'm genetically predisposed to having.
Yes.
And yeah, I mean, it was like, I haven't drank in a month, which like you, I drink maybe two nights a week.
Yep.
Which what take that how you will, but yeah. I was drinking a lot when I was drinking.
Yes.
And so I was like, oh, I didn't drink for a whole month. I went to my first concert. I love, like I said, I love music. I went to Dave Matthews Band concert and I didn't drink. And I was like, I did that once when I was pregnant. Other than that, I've never been to a Dave show without drinking.
And it's a whole new experience.
Completely.
You know?
I remember it.
Yes, exactly.
I remember the set list
yes.
now.
Yes. It's so fun not blacking out.
Totally fun. I'm not throwing up at the gorge. Like, it's yeah, great. Right.
Exactly. I had so many of those nights. And so also, too, like when you're surrounding yourself with certain people, they expect that out of you. If that's
absolutely.
The if that's the party that you delivered, you know, for all these years that they've known you and they've been spending mm-hmm. time with you, that's kind of the person they expect.
Yep.
So I would imagine like you had to experience people not receiving, you know, your newfound kind of path.
Definitely.
With open arms.
Definitely. Yeah. People weeded themselves out.
Yeah.
Which made my job easier. I didn't do a lot of reflecting of, you know, like you said, whose energy am I allowing into my life? Do yeah. am I friends with this person because I want them to like me, or do I actually even like who they are?
Right.
And I wasn't mad at anybody. It wasn't like, I'm never talking to you again. It was not a thing. It was just, it died out. It fizzled out.
I love that because I experienced the same thing. And it was interesting to see like what you have in common with people if they're not just your drinking buddy.
Yeah.
Right.
Turns out not much.
Yeah, exactly. Because you're kind of, it's almost like I said, everyone's kind of going through life carrying some kind of trauma. And usually if you're drinking and you're hanging out with people, you're sharing those things. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like trauma bonding in a really toxic way because you're just sharing things when you're drunk.
Yeah.
But you're also, you're a deep person. I can tell because yeah. we spent some time talking and, you know, not everybody is.
Right.
And not everyone's willing to be as open and honest when they're not drinking.
Right.
And so, like, just to the point of you authoring your memoir, mm-hmm. it's like you're very in tune with yourself mm-hmm. and you've, you know, stripped yourself down of from all the facade.
Yeah.
And, like, you're telling your story and from a sober standpoint.
Yep.
Yes. So there's nothing, you know what I mean? There's nothing off limits there.
Right.
Usually when you know, you're like I found when I was kind of stepping back from certain people in my life, the only time they were willing to share is if they were drinking.
Yeah.
You know, and then like they were a completely different person outside of that we wouldn't have anything in common,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, yeah. And it's hard to let go of people, too, because you think that, you know, you have a connection because I'm big on connection.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
same.
Right. And
like,
especially,
are we vibing? Are we close? Did we?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's interesting, too, because I know we were talking off camera about just vibes, energy, and who you're around. And when you're in another headspace, you know, back then, you're not as in tune, you
oh,
know,
not
so
at all.
You're not picking up on the signs. Mm-hmm. And then it's just like, as kind of time goes by and you evolve, your body becomes very aware of who and what is around you.
Yep.
Yeah. It's a really unique experience. And not everybody gets to that experience like at your age or my age,
right.
You know, sometimes it's much later in life,
if at all,
or if at all. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Which I always find sad because I don't know, sometimes that's a double-edged sword because
yeah.
then you almost be like, you're almost thinking like, oh man, I wish, you know, I didn't feel things so deeply
yes.
or I wasn't so connected at times, but you can't turn it
yeah.
off. So it's
yeah.
just kind of like you have to lean into it
yeah.
and go with the flow.
Yeah, yeah, I noticed myself, I don't want to say diagnosing people, but between all of the time I've spent in group and individual therapy and just my spirituality and learning who I am and what made me this way and how I respond and all of this, I find myself looking at people going, you need to do this. But you can't tell people that.
Right.
You can't be like, this is why you feel that way. And this is, you should probably try that. Because people don't want to change. people hate change. Which, don't get me wrong. I really hate change. It freaks me out, but you need to make change in order to make change.
Yes, it's true.
And it sucks.
It does. I think the secret to kind of sharing like your guidance, if you will, mm-hmm. like with the people that you're referencing, is really just speaking from your own experience mm-hmm. versus like unsolicited advice.
Yeah.
That was kind of my goal with the podcast, because I watch a lot of other people diagnose or give unsolicited advice, especially with social media right now. It's like, really, you're watching.
I did the diagnosing in my brain, at least.
Right, exactly. Well, everybody does. Trust me. I've worked in the mental health field for almost 30 years, and I have it happen. I can tell when someone's doing it to me, too. Same. So it's kind of funny. But
like, you can diagnose me. I'll just tell you. It's this.
Exactly. Me, too.
Just ask me my diagnosis. Yep,
I'm like, there really is no diagnosis for my crazy. It's just crazy with a capital C.
There you go.
Right.
Exactly. Like I said, crazy. I'm not key your car crazy, but I will take crazy.
Love it. But yeah, that's just the thing right there, is that I think, you know, kind of watching the social media platforms right now with influencers or digital creators or anybody with a platform, there's a lot of just unsolicited advice, and a lot of people are just reading from like ChatGPT or their scripted things, and they don't really even walk that talk or follow, you know, those protocols themselves or even understand them.
Right.
That's why I think like it makes sense for you to kind of author your memoir, you know, from your perspective and your story, because I think it's more relatable than you think. Like as you mentioned, you're like, what am I doing? You know, kind of, where am I taking this, and why? But your why is to be relatable to people that are going to find that book.
Yeah. And I go back and forth between knowing that and being like,
of course,
who are you? And then I'm like, no, there's a lot of people who need this. There's a lot of people who are experiencing this and don't know they're experiencing it. I mean, that was me. Yeah. I knew something was up. I just didn't know what it was. And I go between knowing that and being like, yes, this book is going to do well. People are going to love this. People are going to relate to it. They're going to recommend it to each other and all this too. I'm just Lindsay.
Yeah.
No, but who cares?
That's what people need, though.
I know.
They need just Lindsay, and they need someone to help turn the key.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just start the car. And so, like, that's what it was like for me when I was finding people that I related to on the platforms that resonated with me. It was like, you know, I've always been part of a network that offered amazing mentors, but I mm-hmm. think that life is paired with great mentors and not so great mentors. But they're... Yeah. mentors nonetheless either way. Mm-hmm. And so I'm always grateful for both sides of that spectrum, because you kind of know who you don't want to be and who you do want to be.
Absolutely.
And you know, you definitely want to be yourself.
Yeah.
And so, but with having great mentors, that helps you find yourself, I think. And having not so great mentors kind of turns you in the other direction of being who they want you to be, is what my experience was with that. And I think that if you can be the kind of person that uses your platform like you are for people to help find themselves, you know, you don't want them to be Lindsay. You want them to be, you know, who they are and find that path.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, talking about mentors, my therapist, he's like that. That is one thing I absolutely love about him. He is not afraid to tell his clients that he's been through some shit. This is what I did this when I was in high school. I did this when I was going through college. My wife and I, you know, he'll share, not too much, but enough where you know, like, okay, you get it. Like, you've been through this. You understand. And you're okay telling me that. And you're my therapist. You know, there's this idea that therapists are not supposed to talk about their personal life. And they're not supposed to, you know, do any of these things besides what the textbook tells you. And how do you feel about this? And what is that? That's not what it is. And so many people think that's what therapy is. It's just not. Like, I would go have a beer with Scott. I'd go grab coffee with Scott. And he's just a cool guy who, because of him, I am able to be not only okay with who I am, but like happy. I'm like, I'm fucking awesome. I didn't know this a couple years ago, but I'm awesome. I love hanging out with me. You know, I can hang out by myself and enjoy my time. And that's because I had this fantastic person guiding me.
Yeah.
And someone I respect and somebody I look up to. And, you know, I feel like I owe everything the last few years to him, because he's just, he's one of the good ones. And I told you this earlier, I wish everyone had a Scott Eilers that they could.
I think it's amazing.
They could talk to you.
And I think that it's also like, because I got there too, where it's addicting to kind of just be in your own space and on your own timeline. And I experienced that too, where I told you I would just go to the park for hours on end, and I was by myself, and I would sit, you know, just kind of in the woods and do my thing and think, you know, like you can think clearly and ideas come to your head, and you have clarity, you know, having that mental clarity without any other influence around. A lot of people, I think I've found just from having conversations and observation, do not like to be left alone with their own thoughts. They don't like that. And so I know, like, that's a, that was a struggle for me when I was going through some depression when I was starting up my organization, because like when I was starting up my business, I had experience, you know, when it rains it pours. So yes, it's like just a heaping load of fuckery, one thing after another, and like it doesn't slow down for anybody. And so just processing everything all at once while I was starting my organization, you know, it kind of just left me to evaluate, you know what I mean? You have to take it all in and process everything. And it was like just kind of being alone with your own thoughts without influence gave me the clarity to focus, you know what I mean, internally, which gave me the strength externally. And then just to bring the things that I wanted to bring for myself to fruition, gave me that platform to do it.
I absolutely agree. I there were times when the isolation wasn't healthy isolation. Don't get me wrong. Some of those depressive periods were, they were deep and dark, but no, I really learned how to be alone. I'd never been alone before. And I actually, like I said, I like music and concerts. My first concert I ever went to by myself was here.
Town. Pine Knob, I bet.
And I was scared because I was like, is it going to be any fun? Am I like, what, there's no one to dance with? And I had a great time. And I was like, I did it.
Amazing.
I did it. And then I started traveling by myself. I went, I don't remember where I went alone the first time. And I just, I loved it. I'm like, I'm outside. And I like to go to like, you know, Utah, California, Nevada, go like out around Vegas, like in Henderson and stuff, and hiking. And it's so peaceful, and you learn so much about yourself by doing nothing in a beautiful location. And just
and
all
dining by yourself.
Yeah.
Are you into that? Because I'm into that.
I'm more of a I'm going to take it back to the hotel and hang out kind of person.
Yeah. I just, I'm that too.
I'm like, I'll just sit here and I'll I'm big into audiobooks. I don't have the attention span or time to like read. Or the eyes for it really at this point in time, but I'll, you know, do my laundry or do whatever with the audiobook. I did like 140 books last year just because there was always one on. And yeah, it's just, I like me and I like what I think of and I like my thoughts and figuring things out about myself that I didn't know existed. And
well, it's also great too, because you've learned that you're not a codependent person. You can depend on yourself and you can take care of yourself. And that's always what it was for me, because I love independence. I love it. I've been in long-term relationships and that's great too, but it was always independent of each other. So that's what works for me. But I also know, like, I appreciate my alone time, and I see, I'm friends with a lot of couples that just, they don't ever, they don't have any separation. And so I also see too, like a lot of codependency in those relationships where it doesn't allow for the person to become them. You know, like you don't have that spiritual development and you don't have that just overall independence of kind of your likes versus your dislikes. And some people are just kind of led by their partner. You know, like here's, if you're, especially if you're in a relationship with a narcissist, and we touched on that a little bit, you know, and, you know, a narcissist will have you more involved with their best interests than yours. And that point, you don't even know what your interests are.
That was what I was going to say. I learned what I like. All these things I'd done my entire adult life, I'm like, I don't even like doing that. And I didn't know I didn't like it until I spent time with myself. And I was like, I don't enjoy doing that. I enjoy being by myself. I always thought I was this extrovert. I'm this big extrovert. Lindsay's hilarious. She'll make friends anywhere. You know, she walks in and everyone's cracking up and this and that. I'm like, I don't fucking like people.
Right. We're the same.
I have no idea, but I hate people.
Yes.
And then I'm no, like, it's oh, so okay. funny. Extroverted introvert.
That's what I say. I say it all the time. The extroverted introvert or the introverted extrovert.
Yeah.
So it's one of the two, but I had the same, you know, the same thing because I'm a social person and I definitely was, mm-hmm. you know, when I would go out and always have a good time. But really when you're left to yourself to find your own interests without the influence of other people mm-hmm. in like societal conditioning, yep. you're kind of like, oh, these are the things that best serve me. And these are the things I'm more interested in yep. because left to my own devices, I don't even like going to do that.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. I don't enjoy it. And, yeah. And it turns out I don't really care for the people either.
Exactly.
I mean,
and then you're wondering like, them, what was I doing the whole time? But yeah. I think it's just kind of, I wouldn't say that like if you like follower versus leader, just kind of marching to the beat of your own drum, but just mm-hmm. a very flexible person in yeah. general. Like you seem flexible.
Yeah.
I'm a flexible person and I've worked in the mental health field for 30 years. So it's, you know, serving individuals with diverse needs has been, you know, my entire, you know, existence
yeah.
and kind of, you know, getting into tune with other people and their interests has been a huge part of my life and my career also.
Yeah.
But like stepping back even from that, just to give myself some own time and some right. space, learning like, okay, you need to serve yourself too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So important. Huge. I love being alone. I really do. I love no other bodies in the house because I can feel them. Yeah. I don't care if they're on the opposite end of the house in a different room with the door closed. I can, it feels different when it's there's the somebody else in the house.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't have a TV in my bedroom. I almost never turn my TV on. My, you know, one of my sons will come over a week after he, you know, been at his dad's house for a week. He comes over and he turns on. He's like, this is still on. I'm like, I didn't watch TV all week. I get in spurts where I'm like, I'll binge a show or two yeah. or whatever. But generally speaking, I like not having,
I love that,
that
for
energy.
You.
Even that's yes. what in the bedroom, just a black screen, a TV that's off. I'm like, I can still feel it. I
yeah.
know that it's
oh my
there.
God, that's
like,
hilarious.
Make it stop looking at me.
Yes. I get it. Because when I went through my whole experience, I had broken up with TV. Mm-hmm. I wrote it off. Like I had, I did have a little TV and I would put some DVDs in, just for something to have.
Yeah.
But I have not had like cable television in 10 plus years yeah. or more. And I don't watch TV at all. YouTube, yes, but mm-hmm. not television, right?
Yeah.
Like cable.
Yeah.
None of that stuff. And it's so funny because you're staying at the studio house while you're mm-hmm. in town here. And I turned on the TV. So when you guys came in last night, yeah. there would be like something going on for yeah. you. I'm laughing my ass off right
no,
now.
No, we walked in the bedroom. I was like, Jesus Christ, babe, look at this TV.
Well, that's where my mind went to when you were saying that you don't have a TV in your room. And the only reason why that TV is in there was because I needed something big for the wall.
The wall? That
yes.
makes sense.
That wall is huge in that room.
That's funny.
So that was the biggest TV I could put on that wall. I actually had a smaller TV on there when I first put that house together. And then I ended up getting rid of that TV to put the bigger one on because it needed a bigger.
Yeah, needed something bigger there.
Yes.
I love that house, by the way.
Thank
I
you.
Went around and I took a video of all your little jars that you have. I was like, this shit's too good.
I knew you would dig that place.
Absolutely.
I thought it was so funny because I have a unique personality too. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to create a fun space. And, you know, really what I'm doing with that house, it's interesting that because I didn't know that until we met that you were writing your memoir
mm-hmm.
and I'm participating in a campaign called the Imperfectly Perfect campaign. I'm in a chapter volume 3 of that book, and what I was trying to come up with for that space was something unique for the studio, and I thought it would be a great space for authors to come to get away mm-hmm. and write, you know, because I can film for the podcast there. Content mm-hmm. creators can film
yep.
As an extension of the studio in mm-hmm. that space. And I know a lot of authors. I've had some authors on the podcast, and I know like even a lot of songwriters, they'll rent Airbnbs or go different places and travel because they need to kind of get away and like
yeah.
they need a fresh perspective and a space. And I thought that was another thing while I tap into It's been good for me to connect with you because I like hearing about your process for your book, mm-hmm. you know, for your memoir and, well, like your three books, really. You've got three in the hopper. That's amazing. I feel like that's how I'm going to end up is like you get the first.
I didn't mean to.
Yeah, right. But you can't stop now.
No,
because
it's like all of these things have happened since grandma died.
Yes.
And then my mom moved across the country. And so I feel like that's a good breaking point.
Yeah.
And then all the stuff since she's left. I'm like, I just.
It's a series.
This healing continues.
Yes.
It doesn't just stop because grandma died. You know, it's now mom and I navigated living without grandma and how we healed and how we both processed her death and all of this. And then mom moved and, you know, we'd been in the same city forever. We saw each other daily, talked to each other 5-6 times a day. And so first time in my life not being in the same city as her, and so there's all of the stuff that goes into that, so it's just like, no, these books kind of,
it's like an evolutionary series such as life.
Yeah,
so it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's how I feel like it's gonna kind of pan out for me. And so while I sit in that space, like, because I'm always looking for something creative to do with that space, and it's unique. And so that's where I thought, like, that'd be a great place for me to, like, kind of escape and go, right, get away from my dogs and get away from, you know, my, you know, typical home life.
Yep.
While I tap into writing all the details for the book, because like you said, it's, you kind of black out when you go through that process. Like, mm-hmm. you just turn on the recorder, record it, it translates to text, you read it back or you listen to it back, and you're reprocessing it all over again. So I know it's going to be a whole cathartic experience and a whole, like, almost like revisiting, you know, those times again, you know.
It is.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Very surreal.
It's like you experience it, you think about it, then you say it, then you read it, or then you write it, then you read it. And it's, you see it a little different each time.
Yeah.
But reading what you wrote in something tangible, like you're holding this book and you're reading what you wrote and you're kind of seeing it through your own lens, but it's like it's almost like you're reading it through a different version of you.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does.
You know it, you know what's coming.
Yes.
But when you're reading it, because you don't think of yourself as like, I wrote this. It's like, oh, somebody wrote this book.
Yeah.
So, well, I'm reading it and I'm like, oh, wait, that was me.
I do get it, because I was telling you about getting on camera for the podcast.
Yeah.
It's interesting because I'll watch myself in the third person. Oh, what's he going to say now?
Yeah.
Like, even though I recorded the podcast.
You know what? I do that too. Yes. Now that I'm thinking about it.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Yeah. I do it all the time. So every time I watch an episode, even though, like, I'll watch this one back. And I'll be like, oh, what's he going to say? Like, I was on the episode.
I did that.
I said that shit.
That's funny.
Isn't that funny? So where do you see your social media platform going with the direction of, you know, everything? You're just kind of just letting everything organically play out?
Yeah, I got nothing.
You
got
to get a store. Yeah, right?
I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm doing with any part of life.
I love it.
Right now, so Jason is, he's an art and music artist. He's releasing his album, plan is next month. And so, you know, stuff with my book and his album, it's that innate knowing, like, something really big is going to come from these two things.
Yeah.
I don't know what, I don't have a clue what, but it's just, I don't know. I just know there's something. Maybe it's exactly what we think. Maybe it's absolutely nothing that we think it'll be for either one of us, but it's something big and something positive. So because I know that that's coming, I'm trying not to make plans for really anything.
Just leave space open for what's
supposed to
happen.
I know I want to get the hell out of Iowa. That's about all I know that I'm planning on.
Right? Yeah. Well, come here.
I might.
Come to the Metro Detroit area.
I might.
Yes.
Well, I might need you and your contacts for mental health stuff with all of them.
Yeah. Well, we had so much in common. That was such a...
Scott, I need to have another backup. I've told Scott, I'm like, listen, if you ever move, I'm coming. I need you.
I say that to certain people. If you ever leave me, I'm going with you.
Yeah.
Very rarely will I ever say that. Yes.
Right. I'll do that with Scott. I'm like, I could never deal with another therapist. I couldn't go through everything and have them understand me the way you do. And he does life coaching now, though, too, because his patient load is like at max. And then he's been really successful on YouTube.
I was going to say, does he have a podcast?
Yeah. Of course, I don't even be able to think of the name of it. His name's Scott Eilers, E-I-L-E-R-S. He wrote a book called For When Everything Is Burning.
Oh my God, that's a really good title.
I know.
Because I told you when I started my business and I was going through my experience, I said I felt like I got lit on fire. Because
yeah.
You know that little meme where the dog's sitting there having a cup of coffee? That's me.
Yeah.
Buck.
Yeah. No, it's great. It as his patient, it made me feel more connected to him because there's a lot of personal stuff in there. But it's so helpful. And I listened to it. And then, of course, I bought two copies, one to mark up like you and I talked about. And then the clean one that I could like loan to people or whatever. And
I love you.
I said, oh, fuck, like four times in one trip across town when I was listening to this book in my car. Because it's just the way he is able to explain things or word things. It's like, oh, fuck, I do that. Is that why I do that? It's such a good book.
That's awesome.
He's working.
I'd love to have him on the podcast.
I'm sure he'd be down.
You guys, we should do. I should have both of you guys on the podcast. You guys could both come back, stay at the place.
He'd have some fun stories. There's one thing that I did in my group therapy once, and this is the most unhinged thing I think I've ever done in my life, but also kind of makes sense. But he's like, I will never forget you, simply for that reason. Really long story short, my ex-boyfriend's son's fiance's cat, would you follow that? I had the cat at my house because she got kicked out and all this stuff, whatever. I had the cat. Well, it died at like 1 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, the fuck do you do with a dead cat at 1 o'clock in the morning, right? I lived in a rental, so it's not like I could bury it in the yard. I don't, you know,
yeah.
I co-founded a dog rescue in 2019. And so I had a contact for a pet cremation lady. So I messaged her in the morning and texted her. I was like, hey, I got a dog, blah, blah, blah. Or got a cat. She said, okay, I can come pick it up at, I think it was like 10 o'clock. And at the time, my group therapy was 9 to 11. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I set her on a shelf in my closet on a rug, and I put like clear quartz and rose quartz and all these crystals around her. I was like, oh, okay, Skylar. Like, felt so bad, but I'm like, I don't know what to do with her. I can't just leave her at the foot of my bed and sleep with a dead cat. That's weird. So the next morning I'm like, okay, well, I'm doing that. I get one of my kids' Nike shoe boxes, which he just told me last week I owe him like $70 for, because it was just pristine box from whatever. I'm like, shut up, man. Like, come on. And grab this box, and I go to pick her up to put her in it. I had no idea rigor mortis set in that quickly.
Oh my God.
So I grabbed this poor cat, and I was like, ah! And I bent down and just set her on the ground. And I was like, oh my God, what do I do? I don't know what to do. So I ended up.
Because you were expecting it to be flexible.
I just
still, right?
expected it to be a cat. I didn't think about it. And so I was like, my whole body tense. And I was like, I almost dropped her. I just squatted down, set her down. And I was like, oh my God. I stand up and I call a friend. I'm like, oh, I don't know what to do. And I ended up molding her to get her to fit in the box.
Oh,
I was like, what if
God.
I hear like a crack? And
he's
like, you're not
going
to hear a crack. It's fine. And I'm like, so freaked out by it. So anyway, put this poor cat in the shoebox. I go to take her so that way I have her when the chick picks her up. It's like 90 degrees and muggy.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, I can't leave her in the car.
Oh my God. Because it's now time for your therapy appointment. Yes.
I go to group and I'm like, I'm looking at it. I'm going, I can't leave her in the car. Oh no. I had a beach towel in the back seat.
Oh, fuck.
So I wrap it up in the beach towel and I walk in and everyone's like, oh, what do you got in the box? I'm like, we're not talking about the box. Nobody asks any questions about the box.
Oh my God.
And they're like, you're being really weird. So then Scott walks in and he's like, what's the box for? I was like, we're not talking about the box. And he's like, he goes, is it alive? And I go, no. And he goes, was it?
Oh my God.
I lost it. I was like, Scott, don't ask me questions about the box. I'll tell you guys later.
Hilarious.
So the chick texts me. She's like, I'm here. And I go out with the box and I come back in and I don't have it. I have a piece of paper, like the receipt or whatever. And everyone just goes and looks at me. And I just went, it was a fucking dead cat. Okay.
Oh my God. Cause the cremation lady came to get it. Yeah. So you had the receipt for this.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And I just went, it's a fucking dead cat. Okay.
Oh my
and
God.
Everyone's like, what? And I explained why. And Scott to this day will be like, you really had no other choice. So
yeah,
I
right.
was like, I at least concealed it and didn't tell you guys it
oh
was there
God.
Until it was gone. So,
you're
yeah.
very humane. Yes. I love it. Oh my God. Holy shit. That's amazing.
Yeah, so I'm definitely the crazy cat lady. Well, then when I picked up her ashes, I was like, okay, so this is okay to drive around with a dead cat in a box but when I do it, like, I'm like, it's a dead cat in a box. Why is this any different? Than- right,
exactly. It's just transport at this point.
Right. It's a dead cat in a box either way, ashes or not.
Oh, my God. Well, he sounds like he gets your personality, Scott. Oh, totally. Yes. That's awesome. That would be a great podcast to have him come in and join us and highlight his podcast, too. So yeah. Was his podcast centered around just mental health and
idea? Yeah, therapy tools and, amazing. You know, discussing different symptoms and what they mean. Like, he's big on, like, anhedonia and describing what that is, because so many people that experience that just – not really feeling joy anymore.
Yeah.
Don't really get it or what it is or why it happens. So he does a lot with that. Passive suicidal ideation that, you know, we were talking about. You just don't want to wake up the next day. You don't have any plans to end your life, but you're just like,
exactly,
I'm gonna hit that button before I go to bed and hopefully I can be done. I mean, I spent years of my life feeling that, and I had no idea that's what it was.
Right.
I was just like, I'm tired. I don't want
to
do this anymore.
I would love to do like a full episode on just that alone.
Yeah.
I mean, my God, absolutely. That would reach so many people. I think so many people experience that more than they've shared or let on.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
My God. That's
I think people think it's normal.
Yeah.
To just
carry that.
Yeah. Maybe that's just me. I don't know. But I didn't see that.
Hello.
Hey, buddy.
It's a sign.
Yeah, there you go. What kind of bug is it? Let's Google it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what kind of sign that means.
It can't be a good one.
We need one of the authors to author one of those inappropriate children's not for children's book. Yeah.
Oh, there we go. Let's give that one to Jen Genevieve. I think she could.
Now, she's funny. So when you read her books, you always say the author's name when you're reading them, because you say the title and then the author's name. I love it. Did she have the one about the beaver?
They all got one about a beaver.
About a beaver, yeah.
There are beavers everywhere.
Well, you would love Troy out here. There's there's a mall, the Somerset Collection. It's off Big Beaver, exit 69.
That's fantastic.
That's real.
That is a real thing. We have a Cumming, Iowa, Cumming.
I love it.
True story. There's so many funny hats and stuff that you can get there. Like, I love Cumming. Iowa. Small Iowa.
We have some I have some friends in Regina, Saskatchewan. And so, like, I always say, yeah, everything good's going down in Regina. Like, we always joke back and forth. And so when they come here to visit, they're always just fucking fascinated by the fact that we have Big Beaver exit 69.
Yeah, that's
big
amazing. Beef. The
yes.
Big Beef. So one of my kids was sick a few weeks ago, and I'm gonna try really hard to remember this. It was this weird thing. I took him to urgent care, which I don't normally do, but his throat looked fucked. So I took him in there, and he had what's called herpangina. And I looked at the doctor, and he goes, it sounds awful. I know. And I'm like, what is that exactly? Well, it's caused by the Coxsackie virus. I was like, time the fuck out. My child has herpangina caused by the Coxsackie virus? Is this real? And it's legit. I'm like looking into it. It's a thing. It is a fucking thing. I'm like, this poor kid. Basically, it's like a virus, and he got sores like in his mouth.
I was just laughing about pneumococcal pneumonia today. I was like, they were giving an ad on the radio. I was like, okay.
Pneumococcal.
One of my Great Danes once got vaginitis.
That's a thing?
Yeah, it's a thing. I was like, interesting. Yeah. So like, yeah, she had a rash, and I took her in, and like, it literally said, like, when I got the pads, because I had to like wipe her area.
Yeah.
It was literally on the script for vaginitis. I was like, interesting.
I didn't know that was a
There's
thing.
A book coming out.
There you go. Yeah. We'll have to make sure Jen and Kinsey and Brad all watch this.
Yes. Definitely. Now, are you tight with these authors where you can make suggestions?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Kinsey actually wrote one about me and then wrote one about Jason.
I love it.
So we have Lindsay's box and Jason's big truck.
I saw the one about Jason's big truck. I knew that sounded
Jason
familiar. Jason. That's hilarious. I love that Jason came with you too. What an amazing guy.
Oh God, he's
and so
amazing.
He's taken a leap into the music industry, right?
Yeah, he's been in it for quite a long time. He's performed, opened up for quite a few people. Of course, I'm not going to remember them off the top of my head. I think Twista was one of them. I'm drawing a blank on the rest of
That's
it.
That's awesome.
He's so good.
If you
when
guys
we
ever
first started dating and he told me he's a rapper, I was like, fuck. Awesome. Of course you are. And I'm thinking, how bad am I going to have to fake thinking this is good? And then the first night he played his music, I was like, okay. And he played another one. I was like, holy, He's actually good.
That's awesome.
He's very good. He writes everything. He does all the beats. He's so talented. He amazes me. I'm really proud of him. He's just an all around good person, talented.
That's awesome. Kind. I just had a guest on that owns a studio in Detroit. That, you know, all the first three Eminem albums came out of that studio. Mm. I had the son of the father that worked with Marshall.
Okay.
It's FBT Studios. And so if you guys, obviously, like, we are not ending here. Like, yeah. You guys are coming back and there's more to come.
Definitely.
So, like, when you guys come, like, Jason, that would be a great studio. Like, yeah. You can rent that by the, you know, just rent the space to go record music. It's open to the public now. It used to just be private for private artists, but they had a lot of big names come out of there.
Oh, cool.
And I've had a few of their artists on here, so I've been developing a relationship with them, and
awesome.
I love to highlight their artists on the podcast, and that might be some nice connections for Jason.
Definitely.
For sure. Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, it's not far from here at all. So that'll be great. I have to have Jason on the podcast.
Yeah.
Highlight that album.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
He's excited about it. He's like us with the writing.
Yeah.
There's so many things that go into it. The music's done. He's tweaks little things here and there, but it's all the business stuff that he wants everything to be, 100% crystal clear, done, nothing wrong with the label paperwork and all of the things. And, but yeah, it's good.
That's good.
And I like rap as far as like Ludacris and Nelly. We go back to when I was a teenager in 20s. I'm like, I can. You want to hear Batter Up? I got that in my back pocket. my karaoke song is Shoot by Salt and Pepper. I know every word.
Yep. Always old school stuff.
Yeah, 100%. And, my boys, I have four boys, they listen to like the new rap. And some of it I can get on board with. Most of it, not so much. But the way he does it is so unique. And he tells stories, like important stories.
There it is.
Yeah, and it's so good. And I'm excited for people to hear a modern throwback
to back in the day, right? Because it used to.
It's real music.
Yes,
it's
exactly.
Not just. I don't even know what the hell they're saying anymore with that mumble rap.
Yeah.
That's going on. I can't. I'm looking at the boys. I'm like, I don't know what this is. But yeah, no, it's real. He loves Tupac. It's very.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. I mean, he's really good.
Amazing. Yeah. I had a guest, T Money Green. He worked with Tupac, been on a few albums, and T Money Green's here in Detroit. He lived back and forth between Detroit and California, but Detroit's his hometown, and he's got a studio too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. He's got a podcast, and he was a great guest, and he's a great connection. He also wrote a book.
Yeah?
Yeah. He's a good guy. We're going to have to get Jason on the book train.
Right?
You're already writing music. You're basically writing a lyrical book.
He's got all sorts of stuff. He's throwing new ideas at me all the time or telling me ideas he has. I'm like, all right, let's order these.
Yeah.
And order of importance to you for now, and we'll get there. But yeah, he's incredibly creative and driven, and
that's awesome. Well, you guys sound supportive. Like a power couple, a nice dynamic between the two of you.
Oh, it's didn't think it existed.
Amazing.
Truly did not think it existed.
I'm so
and
happy
if any,
for
anyone
you.
Who knows me knows it takes a lot for me to say something like that, because I was like, fuck men and fuck, which don't get me wrong, I still am for the most part. There are exceptions, I know that. But yeah, no, I had no idea that genuine respect in a relationship and support and all of that on both sides existed.
Exactly.
I've never seen it demonstrated in my life. I've never experienced it. None of that, but.
Well, you get to trailblaze it in your own life.
Yeah.
Being the author of your own book.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I think that's awesome.
Thank you.
I also feel so blessed to be connected with you and Jason both. I thank you for coming out here and
absolutely.
Taking the time to do the podcast and share your story. I want to share with the audience your handles. If they're not already following you, you should be.
Yep. It's lindsay.wdot spelled out. I tried really hard to do dot, but it was taken on two platforms. So I was
damn
like,
it.
Gotta spell it out. So Lindsay, LYNDSEYDOTW.
Awesome.
On everything.
Now, do you have YouTube too?
YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok.
Awesome. Well,
I made some on the other ones when TikTok was getting banned. I've never done anything with them, but.
Gotcha.
Everything you can think of, it's Lindsay.W.
I love it. All right, guys. All right. Well, the beautiful Lindsay Wright. Follow her on all of her platforms. And that's a wrap.